being able to singular once again. I am thankful for the unwrapping or the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Unveiling, unwrapping one that has always been, is today, and always will be. I thank you for further revelation that you have given about words in verse 9. To continue to let me know and those that listen to the teaching of this book how intimate we are to be with one another, how serious a relationship that we truly are brothers and we are soldiers in Jesus Christ. We not only pray together and worship together, but we do battle together. We stand side by side as overcome in spiritual warfare. I thank you for the equipment you have given us, mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. I am thankful it is not the equipment of man, but it is the equipment of God. Because in order to fight that is here, we must have supernatural weapons. And thank you, Father, for providing all the weapons that we need to stand and go forward and be successful as conquerors in Jesus Christ. We love you. We thank you so much for loving us. And we pray that everyone here this will experience the energy of God, and they will experience what it is to be in the presence of eternal life. And the real good, He is loving, He is merciful, He is forgiving, He is caring. There is none like Him. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present and all-sufficient. And thank you that we are in your kingdom. And you are the one that rules in your kingdom. You are the one that calls the shots in your kingdom. And thank you for the Word of God that gives us direction and guidance, the patience we need as we talk about the sovereignty of God. Open our eyes spiritually to the spore us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name, all to His glory and all to our maturity in Christ. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, if you have your printout. It goes something like this. I, John. Remember, we're crossing John out for a reason. Or you can and write your name above John. We're going to make it that serious this morning as we have been. I, Terry, my name, and you can write yours, who also am your brother. Underline that word brother once again. We've done that a few times. Let's do it one more time. I'm going to give you just a moment the word brother and what John means when he uses that word, your brother. He's saying we, as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we came out of the same womb of humanity. We have the same feelings. We have similar emotion. And we deal with the same problems in life. In every respect, we are brothers. Side note, we are related by the blood of Jesus Christ. We come from the same spiritual family. Jesus Christ has paid our sin debt in full. We owe. In every respect, we are brothers. We have our personal struggles and victories. When he says your brother, the word brother also refers to faithful soldiers. A faithful soldier is one who is sold out to one another. And that's what we are to be in this local assembly, this church. We are to be sold out to one another if we're going to go through the struggles together. Fighting men and women, faithful soldiers, united together to fight the same battles. Another side note. Our battle for survival is a struggle against demons, against evil that is supernatural. We handle the same weapons, Ephesians chapter 6. We are equipped by the same God. And we win the same wars. There is one war taking place today that is getting more intense. I am tired of listening to nonsense. I'm tired of listening to women to say, "This is my body." It is not. God has given you that body. It is my reproduction system. I beg to differ. It is God's reproduction system. I want you to turn to Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. Again, I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Study Bible. The Amplified Study Bible. Psalm 139, verse 13. "For you, my innermost parts, who is you? It is God. You have formed my arteries. You have formed my veins. You formed my kidneys. You have formed my heart. You oversaw and you started the natural process. For you formed my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, O God. And my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being formed in secret and intricately and skillfully formed, as if embroidered with many colors in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were appointed, when as yet there was not one of them even taking shape." A little note. Since God can create a person, He knows him intimately. Since God can create a person, He knows that person intimately and is with him everywhere. The other day on Fox News, she's pro-choice. God is pro-life. She said, "Have you ever been raped?" The man said, "No." "Have you ever gone through incest?" He said, "No." And that's what I thought. "And you want to tell me what to do?" There is one that tells all of us what to do. His name is God in His Word. I understand what the lady was saying, but here's how I want to say it real bluntly. If you were raped and God allowed the reproductive process to continue, that seed to begin to take shape and take form, and we have just read, it is God that gives all this. If He has started life, then who are you? If God started it, even though you were raped, who are you to kill it? If there has been incest and God allowed the seed and the egg
to come together.
And he began doing his work, the work only he can do. Do you have the right to stop the work of God? Do you have the right to kill what God has already given life to? The Bible says it's outright murder. The women's lip. Well, it's our body, it's our this. It is amazing when man speaks apart from the Word of God, he makes himself a fool. He speaks with nonsense, and he speaks with human rationale. His mind, the Word of the living God. And the way of Almighty God. If you've been raped and you don't want the child, please have the child. There are millions of people standing in line that would gladly take the child. Say there's incest. Do the same thing. Have the child. There are those that can't have children that are waiting in line to receive a precious young baby. I will say it again, and I don't apologize, and I don't back up. I have yet to get mail from this assembly. If God starts life, who are we to kill it? We are not. Go back to the printout. I, Terry, so am your brother, your encourager, and companion. Underline the word companion and write co-worker. Co-worker. So John says, I'm sold out to you, brother and sister in Christ. I'm your encourager. I'm also your companion, your co-worker. Now, make this note, if you will, above companion. If you will, write the word co-worker. And then take this note. Two things that do not exist in the church. Loneliness and isolation. If we all have a brother and sister in Christ, all co-workers, then we're not doing anything alone. So there should never be loneliness, and there should never be anyone isolated in the local assembly, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I, Terry, who also am your brother, your soldier who fights for you and with you, and your companion, your co-worker, in tribulation. Underline the word tribulation and write this little statement. If we suffer together, we will reign together. If we suffer together, we will reign together. Can you imagine the saints at the appropriate time in the presence of God that have suffered together? It is going to be that we rejoice together and we praise God together because we have suffered together. We will reign together. And that day is coming. I, Terry, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom. Underline that word kingdom. I've got just a little more to say to that. It is a divine spiritual kingdom where Christ reigns. In kingdom life, there is the expectation of real change. Our expectations of the kingdom of God must be overturned or reshaped. How many of you, when you were saved, God had to come and begin to reform and align your thinking? Well, I got news for you. He's still working on mine. He may be still working on yours and probably will until the day that we die. As we learn, Christianity is all about God's will, not ours. It is all about a change of mind and direction. Go back to the printout. I, Terry, who also am your brother and companion and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, that's a whole nother message, was in the isle that is called Patmos. Why was John banished to the island of Patmos? You know why? He spoke the Word of God and he lived the Word of God. He spoke the Word of God and he lived the Word of God. Do you see what the Democrats are wanting? They'd love for us to all be anti-God so they can do what they want to do. But I don't know about you, but I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not backing down. I'm not stepping to the side. We're going forward. For the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Almighty God. We are in advance mode as far as God is concerned. Kingdom, Basileia. Now I've got two little things that might sting, but you'll get over it. A ruler, a ruling power. And here's what I added. If God is king, you're not. If God is the king, you're not. Secondly, if God rules, you don't. If God rules, you don't. A ruling power, a ruler. Here, a redeemed community. So what is a kingdom? A redeemed community. And what is a redeemed community? Number one, we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. What does it mean to be saved by grace? It means God came into your life because you couldn't come to Him first. So He came to you and did for you what you could not do for yourself. And by the gift of faith, you were enabled to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But the good old Baptist stood up and said, "Wait a minute, I've got to confess all my sins." My answer to that is, sit down. You can't remember all of them. But Jesus Christ did, and He nailed them all to the cross. Your payment was in full. Remember, the only thing that will keep you out of heaven is unbelief in Jesus Christ. Not your sins. He's paid for those. Secondly, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled, be influenced, be controlled by, be spiritually motivated by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. In fact, you can't live the Christian life if you don't apply Ephesians 5:18 every day. What is the redeemed community? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's why we can be brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We have one Lord. We have one Master. And I'm not the Master. You're not the Master. The deacons are not the Master. No committee is the Master. Jesus Christ, resurrected, glorified Lord, He is the Master of the church. It is His church. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I think there was a statement made in the Bibles. Somebody said, "Who is my brother and sister and mother?" And listen to what Jesus said. "Those that do the will of my Father." Did you notice the word "do"? A profession of faith not backed up by doing is not good. Amen. Here we go. A ruler, a ruling power, here a redeemed community, living life in a supernatural way. Underline the word supernatural, also the word way, in Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean to live life as a Christian in a supernatural way? Listen to this. You're going to be living beyond human rationale. You've got to learn to live by the Word of God, and the Word of God is beyond human rationale. It is a supernatural way of life because you're living by the supernatural Word of God, because you've been placed in a supernatural kingdom and you have been given a supernatural salvation. Is this correct? Point. All this, underline this, the power, the knowing, the presence, the sufficiency of God is working for you, the believer in Jesus Christ. Here's the question. Why is this so important to know? Because this is what we're going to hold on to in difficult times. I may burst your bubble, but I'm not a feel-good message preacher. God said, "Preach it all, Terry," right? The greatest event to take place next in the church age is the rapture. But let me tell you what the Bible says is going to take place before the rapture. It is an apostasy. It is a tremendous, great falling away from the truth of Almighty God. Go back to the question. Why is this so important to know? Because this is what we're going to hold on to in difficult times. How difficult the times will get before the rapture, only God knows. Look at the word patience. Here's a little side note. Patience is to be linked with the sovereignty of Christ. I want you to think about it for a moment. How in the world can you have patience if it's not connected to the sovereignty of God? You've got to know that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. If you know that and believe that and choose to live by it and connect it to the sovereignty of God, you will be patient in all situations. Because in all that patience, it will draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, under patience, John is very careful to point out that they, brothers and sisters in Christ, have been co-sharers in the patience of Jesus Christ. This is very important for a sustained ruling of God's kingdom requires patience. Here's another question. But what does patience mean in this context? And why is it necessary to experience the sustained ruling power of the kingdom of God? Page 2, top of that page. There that word is patience again. It is hupomeno in the Greek language. Number one, it means to stay under. What do you and I usually do when we're pressured? Lord, deliver me. Lord, take it away. And really the Lord is saying, I'm not going to do either one right now. Because you and I are fixing to walk through this situation, this adversity, this hardship, this trial. And you're going to learn more about me than you've known. Talk to Job. I didn't deliver Job. I took away from Job for a what? A while. Very precious things. You see, Job was just a little more self-righteous than we realized. And then when God got to asking him questions, he said, you know, I don't know. I weren't there. I wasn't there when you made the stars and put them in the sky. I wasn't there for all the good stuff that you did. Sorry, God, for thinking better of myself than I should. It means to stay under, such as when referring to a resolute decision about which one will not move from his position. There's going to be a lot of moving away from the position. That's apostasy. Moving away from the truth, moving away from Jesus Christ, because the pressure has gotten so great and it is so demanding and the sacrifice is, boy, I'm really having to do things I didn't want to do and give up things I didn't want to give up, all for the sake of Christ. And you're telling me I need to stay under this? Yes, because go ahead and read about the seven churches. Go ahead and read about what these Christians were going through at the time that Jesus was addressing them, that John was writing to them. It was not a life of daisies. God did not save them and throw them in a pile of marshmallows. They were baptized and saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and then put out there to face opposition and face persecution. God never said it's going to be easy down here. The best is yet to come. Stay under. Endure. Be the brother and sister you should be. Be the companion you've got to be. Be the soldier of Christ you have got to be. And what God is going to allow to come, we will need each other more than we have ever needed each other. It means to stay under, such as when referring to a resolute decision about which one will not move from his position to escape troublesome pressures. Number two, patience portrays a person absolutely committed to what he believes. Are you? Did you just come here? I'm saying that, but I know better. I know you come here to learn the Word of God, and I thank you so much for that. And I know you do your best to live it. by the power of the Holy Spirit. He portrays a person absolutely, number two, committed to what he believes and to the position he holds to be true and dear. What do you know about Mormons? Mormons believe that Jesus Christ was a created being, and one day deity invaded his life, stayed a while, and then left. That's what Mormons believe. That's not so. That's a lie straight out of hell. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, in eternity past, was the Word, Jesus Christ, and the Word was God. He never ceased being God. He always was. He was God who came in the flesh, just as predicted, born of a virgin. He refuses to move or to surrender. He sticks to his position. He abides by what he believes, and he stays put no matter what tries to come upon him. This patience is also translated endurance, referring to one's ability to outlast hard times. I look at that, and it scares me to death. How many Christians in church in America today can go through hard times? Because we're always praying, God, get me out of the hard time. God, deliver me. And God says, no. I know what's coming into your life. You and I need to spend some time together. When this patience is working in a person's life, it gives him the supernatural ability. Are you telling me that I need the supernatural ability to live the Christian life? The answer is absolutely yes, and that's non-negotiable. I heard Juan Williams on Fox, and it scares me to listen to him talk. He was in a discussion, and he says, well, according to my mind, it sent chills up down my neck. I said, according to your mind, Juan Williams, I have heard you talk and talk and talk on Fox News. Living the Christian life is not according to your mind. It is not human rationale. You have been saved by grace supernaturally. Your life has now been elevated to the supernatural. You're in a physical body, in a physical world, but also in a spiritual realm. If you're going to be pleasing unto God and be used by Him, you better learn to employ what is supernatural. Start with His Word. So this is staying power, or hang in there power. When this patience is working in a person's life, it gives him the supernatural ability to remain stand fast. I'm not moving. And to never surrender his position or beliefs in the face of insurmountable challenges and stress. Insurmountable. Let me tell you something. You want to be like Joshua and Caleb? You want to go over there and spy out the land? They came back with this report. Yeah. Bunch of little grasshoppers over there. But the other ones, thank God, to them it was insurmountable. There's giants over there. Man, they're just too big. Let me tell you something. Nothing is ever too difficult, too big for you, the child of God. When you learn to hand everything over to Him and be obedient in His Word and equip yourselves with the equipment of Almighty God in Ephesians chapter 6, you will stand and you will laugh in the face of that which seems insurmountable. You say, Terry, have you lost it? And I said, yeah, and I'm enjoying every bit of it. I told you, stay in the fight. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. I ain't running. I ain't budging. Fight, we fight. We do what we must to be a brother and a companion to each other in this assembly. We do not fight each other, for we know where all of that comes from, Satan. We will engage in spiritual warfare, and we will pray him down. Back to the printout. The intense resistance that came against the early church made it necessary for believers to possess this kind of endurance. I learned something the other day, nearly blew my mind. When you read about these seven churches, those that got weak and crumbled and went down in defeat, the Muslims came in and mopped up. Surprise. And if America doesn't stop its nonsense and stand in the face of this ideology from the left, we will go down in defeat. The Trojan horse is already in the United States of America. It is time to face it, overcome it, and act. The intense resistance that came against the early church made it necessary for believers to possess this kind of endurance and resolve in order to keep furthering God's kingdom on the earth. To survive through periods of persecution, including the renewed persecution they were currently facing. The believers needed patience, endurance, the inward fortitude to stay put and to never give up or surrender their position. Point two. Evil may try to overcome the light. But if the light bearers, guess who that is, will stay put and endure to the end, eventually the darkness will crumble as the glorious light of Jesus Christ pushes it out of the way. Remember, patience is required. Let me read John 1:5 once again in the Greek language. And the light shined in darkness, but the darkness simply didn't have the ability to overcome it. Take it down, subdue it, or dominate it. God's people reign supreme. Victory is already ours. Connect your patience with the sovereignty of God and you win every time. Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for these people that are not scared of it, but they embrace it. They say, give me more, feed me more, give me more spiritual understanding so I may be what the scriptures tell me I need to be. This is what I want to do. This is a choice that I make. We stand. Not in isolation. Not lonely, but arm in arm, prayer in prayer, the Word of God lived out and acted out, no matter what the cost, because I know where I'm going when my time's over here. Let's do what we got to do. Time is running out. And Jesus Christ is coming back as judge. In His name we pray. Amen.